Joining me now is Frank Fitzpatrick. Frank is a farmer. He is a rancher, and he is here to tell us about, well, what's been going on with the cattle industry and with the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, that we know declared war on the American farmer a long time ago, looking at their crops or their fields, I should say, with satellites, making sure there's been a hard rain and some water collected, and that's kind of a marshy area. Hey, let's have that area drained so we don't lose several acres of potential crops we could plant. No, the EPA is watching your farm fields with a satellite, farmers tell me out of South Dakota, and they know when you've done that, and you better leave that for the ducks. So again, the EPA has been warring on the farmer for a long time. Now we know they're doing carbon capture and wanting to put down pipelines throughout America and use eminent domain to take some of their land to do that. And we also know they have the 30 by 30 agenda, scooping up 30% of the farmland, putting it in conservation by 2030, and then doing 50% by 2050, all part of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. Now we have the war on the American rancher, and they want to, outlaw the ranchers, get rid of them the way they're doing with the Dutch farmers. And of course, that's going to create a food crisis. Joining me now is Frank. Frank, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So do you agree with my opening statements here?
Pretty much. I don't, the EPA has not hit me very hard. The guys that are after me mostly is the USDA. I have a real hard time getting livestock and cattle processed under this new regime, I guess.
Yep.
It's just making it extremely difficult to get cattle processed, to get food back on the market.
So now, tell me, where are you a farmer, Frank?
Orange County, California.
Orange County, California. All right. That's an expensive area.
Rancher in Orange County.
Say it again.
I'm the last rancher in Orange County.
Yeah, I imagine you would be. That's an expensive place to live and have property. I would think it'd be hard to farm there. So you're the last rancher in Orange County.
Right.
Wow. All right. So tell me what it is you want to warn our audience about related to our food supply.
Well, it seems to me like that the government's trying to stop the food chain all the way down the line, and they burnt down 200 packing houses and
wait a minute, what did you just say? They did what? Burnt down 200?
They burnt down, closed them. Okay, when I was a kid, there was 26 USDA packing houses in the LA Basin. Right now, there's 3. Okay, there's 13 million people in this basin. And there's 3 companies that are supplying beef to this area. So most of the beef coming into LA Basin is imported out of state or out of the county at least.
Okay. So and of course we know China has been buying up meat packing and slaughterhouses, have they not?
I don't know that for a fact. I've been told that.
Yeah.
Well, I know they're buying all our hay ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're buying up a lot of land, aren't they? So is Bill Gates.
Well, they have about a third of the alfalfa in the Imperial Valley sowed up, which has driven hay from about $240 a ton to over $500 in the last 10 or 12 months.
Well, and this is what I'm hearing when ranchers, I'm on 60 radio stations, 60 plus radio stations, terrestrial stations every day. I cover a lot of North Dakota and Wisconsin, I blank it. But North Dakota, a lot of ranchers, they've called into my show saying that it's getting very hard for them to be cattle ranchers because of the great cost from the time that animal drops on the ground, is born, to the time they can take it to the slaughterhouse. It costs so much to feed it, the grain costs going up and so much more. And then, of course, they take it to the slaughterhouse. And then, of course, you look at the high price of meat and they're like, yeah, but that's not going to us. So the ranchers themselves are calling into my radio show saying they're having a hard time staying in business. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have many of those problems because I'm conception to your plate food. In other words, I have a cow and a bull. I breed her. I raise the meat. I cut it up into little bitty pieces and sell it to you. So I eliminate about 14 steps in the food chain. And I'm a little bitty guy. I only got about 240 cows. And it's the only way a guy my size can make a living.
So you're selling it directly to a family who says, "I want a quarter or a half of a cow," then you slaughter it and
Exactly.
pack it up and ship it to them.
Yeah, and they're all grass-fed, no man-made chemicals.
Which
We
is
don't
very
vaccinate.
interesting. Have you been hearing the talk of the mRNA vaccines getting into our meat processing and to our actually giving the vaccines with the mRNA to the animals, and so that ends up in our meat? I'm hearing increasing reports the last 2 weeks over that, and many Americans I'm hearing are saying we're going to need more organic farmers who won't give these mRNA vaccines to these animals and then have it in the meat we eat. What are you hearing?
I haven't heard anything about the MR. Is that mRNA vaccine?
Yep, a vaccine with mRNA in it.
I haven't heard anything about it. I don't give vaccines, so I mean, I'm kind of like off the grid
So
completely.
again, you're the kind of guy that we need more of. So are most of your clients right there in your area? Or do you cut up a
Yeah.
can you what do you cut up a cow and put it on dry ice and ship it across the country to somebody?
No. I sell mostly local,
So
within 150.
everything's local. Okay. What else
Yeah.
what else are you wanting to tell our audience tonight about the challenges that are happening to our food chain?
Well, the biggest f challenge to the meat food chain is the USDA. They're absolutely crushing the meat processing and packing industry
Tell me
all the
how.
way. Well, it started with COVID when they slowed the big plants down. When the big plants start slowing down, the medium guys in the chain start shipping their meat to the smaller guys. And those are the guys that I use to kill and process my meat. And I process 8, 10 head of cattle at a time, sometimes 30, but that's rare. And it is extremely difficult right now to get a USDA packing house to take less than a truckload of cattle. And I only raise about 3 truckloads of cattle a year.
Wow. How is the spike in you've already talked about the huge spike in hay or alfalfa. How about the huge spike in fuel? How is that impacting the ranchers?
Well, it drives the price up. I mean, fuel's gone from $2 a gallon to six. I paid $7.29 for a tank about 2 months ago. Everything just costs more money.
Do you have an organization? Let's put that organization back up there. Tell me about what your organization is trying to do, your foundation, the Herd Foundation. What is it?
Okay.
What is that about?
Well, it's an educational 501c that is it's basically to teach people about holistic plant grazing. And this method of grazing is which is one of the mechanisms that will actually spiral the environment back into a climax community. The biggest problem we've got in America right now is our lack of topsoil. And if we don't start taking care of our topsoil, we're going to starve to death here.
Interesting. Tell me about the fertilizer challenges and the fertilizer prices.
I don't buy fertilizers.
All right. So,
Or chemicals.
how does that impact you though for the alfalfa and the other things you buy? That causes the
I have
price.
to pay for that. Yeah, it's higher than hell.
Yeah, because the fertilizer prices are going to go up to grow those things that you buy to feed your cattle, right?
Right.
Okay.
Fortunately, I don't buy many except in drought, which is what we've just gone through.
Okay, so most of your cattle's grazing. Is that what I'm hearing?
All the time.
Good for you.
If I had my way, they would never eat a bit, bite of hay or anything that came off a farm.
How many acres are you having your 250 head of cattle on?
Well, I actually have about 700.
You
There's
have.
a cycle to this. Okay, I have about 230, 250 cows, but I've got 220 some yearlings, and I've got a couple hundred long yearlings, and then I've got 69 head to sell for the rest of the year.
Okay. All right. Excellent.
So it's a cycle, because, in other words, it takes 3 years and 9 months for me to go from conception of an animal to putting a steak on your plate.
3 years and 9 months.
Yeah.
What do you have any idea what your total cost is for that animal in that 3 years and 9 months?
Actually, no. And the reason is we've been through 2 years of drought, and my feed costs are absolutely through the roof. My feed bill went from $9,000 a month 5 months ago to $25,000 a month.
And so, if you had to guess, by the time you sell that meat for what it's cost you for 3 years and 9 months, are you even breaking even?
God, yes, but just barely.
So you're just barely breaking even, just barely making a profit.
Right. But if it keeps raining, we'll grow more grass. Grass is a lot cheaper than buying hay and carrots. And I feed a lot of bell peppers down here. I don't feed any grain whatsoever. So all the foods that I will put in to a cow don't have any six omega fatty acids in them.
Wow. Do you have a
So,
website you want to promote before we let you go?
5barbeef.com.
Say it one more time.
Five, the number 5barbeef.com.
Do you spell out the five or you the number?
No, it's the number 5.
The number five.
Bar, B-A-R, beef, B-E-E-F, dot
Excellent.
com.
5barbeef.com.
Yeah, the
Wow.
Herd Foundation is the Herd Foundation, FDN. What is it? Yeah, the Herd Foundation, FD. It's not Foundation, it's Herd. The Herd, FDN.com.
All right, excellent. Frank, thank you so much for being with us and enlightening our audience tonight.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You know, call, let us know if there's any updates. We'd love to have you back. Thank you so
All
much,
right.
Frank. Frank
Bye now.
Fitzpatrick checking in tonight, folks. Yeah. So all the people think these ranchers are all making so much money. They're all getting rich, you know? Yeah, I even hear this kind of talk from people that should know better, right? But then again, of course, many people are led to believe that because they want to have people be jealous of the farmer. They want to somehow penalize the business owner, whether that's the rancher, the farmer, or the butcher and the candlestick maker. Oh yeah, they're all getting so rich. These people make the most asinine comments because they have no idea what it takes unless you're a business owner. Most people have no idea the regulation, the red tape, the paperwork, the accounting, the lawyers, the forms, the filings. It's non-stop. But that's exactly how, well, we've gotten where we are today with the war on the entrepreneur, because people have been, well, made to be jealous and to believe that, oh yeah, if you own your own business or you're a farmer, you're rich. Somehow we now need to redistribute that wealth. Yeah, well, there you go. You just got a firsthand report.